Well, he's got a very punchable face.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I was literally just going to say that.
Do you want to say it, Zach?
Go ahead, Zach. Yes.
Welcome to I Caught It on Audio. This is Water Cooler Chat Episode 31. 96th Academy Award Best Picture.
Welcome to I Caught It on Audio. We're going to be gathering around the water cooler today and have a chat about the 96th Academy Awards Best Picture nominations. We previously watched five of the nominations: Barbie, Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Past Lives, and had discussions about those. So you can go back and check for those if you're interested in what we think about that. And today we're going to talk about the remaining five: American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Maestro, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Why don't we just start at the top there? Now, Dan, you said you weren't able to get to American Fiction. So, Zach, what did you think of that one? This one's about a black author who's fed up with... why don't you tell us what it's about?
Yeah, so he's fed up with all of the categorizing black authors in a very specific way, and making the publishers kind of wanting him to write in a very specific way that evokes things of black culture as they see it, as stereotypical black culture things.
Right.
At the beginning of the film, he has to go on a sabbatical or a leave of absence from his job teaching, because he just gets really angry at some of the students, and that's not taken the right way, and so they decide to ask him to kind of step down temporarily. With his extra time, he decides, or kind of just does it, to go visit his family. His sister dies, spoiler alert, and
I do want to see the movie at some point.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And I don't need to.
And he's just the killer? Oh, shit.
Yeah. I guess well, I'm just supposed to be.
He is a black man, so clearly he's the killer. Okay. Is the moral of the story.
Hashtag sarcasm?
Yes.
Thank you.
My short summarization has gone off the rails, so I'm going to.
Yeah, you're done. Basically, he's upset about the way black writers are being portrayed, has to go help his family. And we have an interesting character study about representation of black people in modern culture.
And where it really gets interesting is when he writes a novel exactly the way he thinks they want it. He has his agent go and give it to the publishers. And of course, they want it, and they want it big.
Yeah.
And they're willing to pay him a lot of money. So it's a really, really well-crafted satire. It's really well done. I loved the subtle humor. And Jeffrey Wright was amazing in it. He's amazing in everything, but he was extra amazing in this one because of the different types of roles. He plays his normal character, and then he has to kind of switch over to the Stag R. Lee author. That's his pen name for this book that he wrote called My Pathology, which changes title. I'm not going to give any more away because Dan, you're going to love it.
I
thought this was brilliant. I really, really liked it a lot. I can't wait to see it again. I plan on watching it again very soon.
Yep.
I think it's just a wonderful, wonderful, well done film. Great humor. Really good characters, really good emotional moments, and the acting was superb all around.
I think one of my favorite things about this one is that the black characters were all well fleshed out, well written, well developed characters, and then all of the white characters were just these super stereotypical surface characters with no value or substance at all. It was
the inversion of the usual, the usual thing you get.
I love the ending too. And we won't get into it again. Don't want to spoil it for Dan, the ruiner.
Yeah. That's me. me and Trent Reznor. Ruiners. Uh-huh. No, I love Jeffrey Wright, and this sounded really good. Like I said, I had plans to go see it yesterday before I got sick, but I am definitely going to watch it. I'm eager to see it.
So this one is nominated for Best Picture, Directing, Adapted Screenplay, Lead Actor, which I feel he might get. Supporting Actor, which
Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah. Yep. And original score. The music was real good in this one, too. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that one. Up next is Anatomy of a Fall. Dan, want to start us off with this one and maybe give the 64-second summary.
Well, basically, it's a courtroom drama about what happened to a husband and father. He falls, as in the title. Question is, was he pushed or, you know, perhaps did he kill himself? Was it an accident? Was he pushed? Is there foul play?
Was he bludgeoned before being
was
pushed?
Was he bludgeoned? Yes. Did he hit the shed? You know, all the details, they work out. But really, it's a character study of his wife and to some extent his son. And then we get a little bit of idea of what's going on. It's about all the stuff that lies beneath in a sort of a less than perfect marriage and all the difficulties that come up. I thought it was extremely well done, extremely compelling, even though it's a very simple story. I thought it was interesting that Sandra Hohler, the actress, kind of the main character, is also really good in Zone of Interest. But these are two quite different movies.
She's definitely in Zone of Interest.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. I already know how you're going to feel about that movie. But she has two very different performances in two movies that are nominated for Best Picture, which is interesting. But I thought this was pretty great. It was fascinating. It's not happy exactly, but no. I thought it was really well done. What did you think, Dave?
Yeah, no, Sandra Hohler was amazing in this one. There's no doubt about that. And the story, you know, kind of on the surface, it's kind of a courtroom drama, but it's not at all. It is definitely about the development of her character and its evolution. And man, this is one of the longer ones. We're sitting at about 2.5 hours, I think. And I didn't feel like it at all. This is one of the few long ones that I didn't fall asleep in, and it was even subtitled. Like portions of it were in French and German.
Mostly French, but I think a good half of the movie was in English. But yeah, there was a little German mixed into it.
There was definitely English, but a lot of it was in French. So I had to do reading, which typically takes me out of a movie. But it didn't in this one. I thought it was extremely well written. And acted, and it was an interesting story that was compelling for the entire 2.5 hours. Zach, what'd you think of this one?
Yeah, I really liked it as well. I felt super engaged in it, even though, like you said, the runtime is a little bit on the longer side. The acting was amazing. I really liked the kid. He was super good with, you know, all of his different emotional struggles of trying to he's got to weigh it and decide how much he wants to go along with the investigation and potentially lose his mother after having just lost his father. You know, his motivations are at times, you know, maybe dubious in the sense that he's got a vested interest. He cares more about maybe having his mother with him and his home life than just completely telling the truth, which could get her in trouble. Even though, you know, it's not a slam dunk. He knows exactly what happens and he can tell exactly what it is. It's just the whole movie is predicated on gray area. It's like, you don't really know. And by the end of it, I didn't have any real sense. I don't know. Did you guys have a real sense of whether she did it or not? Because I certainly didn't.
I deferred to my courtroom drama loving wife on this one. And she does not feel that the wife did it, which bodes well for me personally as her husband.
Well, that's what she would tell you to throw you off the trail. Yes,
maybe that's part of her alibi.
Don't build that second story, Dave.
But yeah, I don't think she did it personally.
I think it's more likely that that he killed himself. But it's not absolutely sure.
No, it's not definitive.
Well, and the reason why I asked that, though, is because it doesn't actually matter. Like, that wasn't while that was the central part of the story, it didn't actually matter to the finality of it. And I thought that was really cool. It wasn't something where I got done and I was like, oh, I need to know this, you know? It wasn't that. It was like, I felt really satisfied and like, I got everything that I kind of needed out of this tightly, you know, woven package. I really liked seeing, I don't know how accurate this is for like, French courtrooms, but I really liked seeing how they did things. I thought that was super interesting. At times I felt like the prosecution was extremely like bulldogish, you know, just like going after people in ways that I know that happens in the court systems here, but it just felt like they were really sort of like on the questioning and on a certain pattern of thought, which the whole point is of the court system is to try and figure out, you know, what happened and how it got there and not just sort of assume something and then kind of keep pushing on that. But yeah, I also really want to call out the French, the friend, I can't remember what his name was.
Oh, the lawyer?
The lawyer friend.
Yeah.
He was amazing. I cannot believe how great he was. Just like, just his presence, you know, when he first shows up and is asking really basic questions and trying to get the idea of what happened. And then as things go on and his the way he performed in the courtrooms and stuff like that, I thought he was really good just in and of itself amongst all of the other good performances throughout the whole cast.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone is compromised in the movie in one way or another. And he is compromised by his clear affection for her and sort of a unrequited, you know, and it's kind of floating around there, but of course the timing's not good. But so you wonder at everyone's motivations. And another thing I was thinking about is I also thought the kid was really, really good. I wonder how it would feel if I was a native French speaker, because I think sometimes the language barrier makes it easier for you to appreciate a kid's performance, because you don't hear, it's harder for you to hear things that ring false, which is usually the thing that ruins it for kids' performances.
Right.
It just sounds like they're repeating a line, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But I did think it was really effective. I wonder what a native French speaker might think.
I will say one last thing. I'm glad this was not directed by M. Night Shyamalan, because if it was, then the kid would have been the killer and that would have been the twist ending.
Spoiler alert.
Thank you for not having that.
Yeah. And the judge would have been M. Night himself.
The dad was dead the whole time.
Dad wasn't real, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, we've got Maestro, which is a Zach's favorite Bradley Cooper.
We hate him.
Playing the lead role as...
Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah, playing the lead role as Leonard Bernstein. It follows his life, and it doesn't focus so much on the music, which I was a little disappointed about, so much as it does about his personal relationships and his love life. So, Dan, what did you think of this one?
I don't know that I dislike Bradley Cooper, but there is something about him that almost doesn't work for me.
He's got a punchable face.
Yeah, he does.
He really does. Yeah.
There's something about his shit-eating grin that puts me off slightly. So eventually I did. I mean, I could have watched it at any point, but I saved it till just a few days ago. I think I liked this movie. I also was disappointed that it was more about their marriage than it was about the music, which I was more interested in. I will say the music in the film, which was all Bernstein's music, was beautiful and amazing.
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah.
I would say that it felt weirdly forgettable. I just didn't only cared so much about their relationship. And while he is in really effective makeup, and I think at times is quite good, it's so hard to know because he's doing such like a actory type character, like, which might be exactly what Leonard Bernstein was like. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't really remember.
You get the impression Bernstein was a huge personality. You know?
Yes, and he plays it big. And
so
it may well be accurate, but it's very actorly. Carey Mulligan plays his wife, who is, she has a more naturalistic performance, and she was quite good. I didn't think she was mind-blowing. I know, Dave, you were really enamored with her performance.
I loved her performances. I thought she was one of the most compelling. Like, I'm looking at the best actress in a leading role nominations here, and I didn't see Annette Bening's
Naiad.
Yeah, but I would give it to Carey Mulligan over Killers of the Flower Moon and over Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall, which I thought was amazing, and maybe over Emma Stone, but Emma Stone was real good too.
Yeah, I think I don't have her as the best. I mean, she was very good. She's always very good. I don't know. I like some of those other performances more. There were two set pieces that were really, really good that sort of saved the movie. The third thing real quick is I liked the change, like the black and white to the sort of era, like when they moved into the 80s, it felt very much like you're watching, you know, the film choices and the sort of grade of the film stock and all that aspect ratio change. And that was cool. But there were two set pieces. One was early on when they meet and she wants to know about the musicals he's written. And they have this sequence where they go to the theater and it's like a fantasy. And then he gets involved in the fantasy. And I thought it was, number one, really well choreographed. Number two, there was a lot of storytelling as she begins to realize that he's interested in men as well. That was happening. And it was more as a subtext rather than him saying, you know, I like men, you know.
Right.
There was some really good acting, and that was a really well designed and executed set piece. When he does the performance in the church,
closer to the end of the movie where he's conducting it and it's you know, fully physical and the music's beautiful. And that swept me up. That, you know, that got me swooping directly into the cancer diagnosis. And I was like, wow, this is like the emotional heart of the movie. I don't know. I felt like a lot of the movie, I just wanted to hear more about the music, and a lot of it didn't seem that memorable.
I agree with a lot of the things that you said. Originally with the black and white 4:3 aspect ratio, I was a little annoyed. I don't need it to be black and white for me to understand that things were happening a long time ago. Like I can figure that out by the costume and all that stuff and what's going on. It was nice to see the progression of the film along with the lifetime of the character, since we were going through the entire, you know, what, 60 years of his life that they covered. So that was kind of cool. They could have thrown another 20-30 minutes in of stuff about his music, and I would have been fine with that. I don't think they needed to take any of the love story or the personal family stuff out. I thought that was a very well-crafted story. A little bit more of the music would have made it perfect, I think. I thought Carey Mulligan was phenomenal. I think she stole the show. Bradley Cooper was fine. If he wins Best Actor, I will be really surprised, especially since Murphy's going to win it. Jeffrey Wright should, or Giamatti should win it. I didn't see the other guy, but yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Did you like when he pulled up near the end of the movie in his convertible cranking, it's the end of the world as we know it? Leonard Bernstein! I started really laughing. Good. It was a little on the nose maybe, but it was pretty funny.
Up next, we've got Poor Things. Boy, what is this about? This movie is Edward Scissorhands combined with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
A little bit of Frankenstein.
Yeah, bit of Frankenstein. It's just insanity. I don't know what the actual plot of this movie is, other than it's about a character who's trying to figure out who they are, right? I mean, that's ultimately what it is.
That's how I summarize it.
It's a lost soul trying to figure out who they are. And where they start is as a person who a mad scientist found their dead body of, took the brain out of their unborn child and put it into the mother's body, and then reanimated it. And then here we go. Emma Stone is just phenomenal.
Yep.
If she doesn't win actress, I don't know. I don't know what she could have done better. She just convinced me 100% that she was this character. And yeah, it was so good. What'd you guys think of this one?
This is my favorite of all of them because it is the level of crazy that I love in movies. And it reminds me of things like David Lynch and really surrealistic style of filmmaking. It's so fantastical, like the you know, the sets, the costumes, characters, the acting. It's all just incredibly over the top, but it works for some reason. It just kind of works in this nicely put together package. And one of the things that I really, really liked was the cinematography, because there were times where you've got people like walking sort of in a forested area, and the focus is on them in the center of the frame, and then the background has all this like blown out, really like excessively sharpened and colorful type things going on in the background that's out of focus. And I was just sitting there like looking at the background going, how the crap did they do that? Because it doesn't look like a composited shot, but I just don't get how they would have done the lens. You know, I don't know enough about cinematography, so I'm sure it makes perfect sense for the people that do. To me, it was just like, I've seen a lot of films, but I've never seen really quite that type of thing being done. And there are many, many other examples of really well-crafted scenes and shots. And I liked the different, like there were fisheye lenses used all over the place where when it was it was showing a shot of a piano from the very, very side of the piano. And then you've got, you know, using the fisheye lens while somebody is like walking along or while she's doing like cartwheels or whatever. And it just, the whole frame is like moving in really surrealistic ways. Yeah, I could go on about this one for a very long time. I loved, what's his name?
Ruffalo?
Mark Ruffalo. Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo's performance. Yes. I love when he was hitting his head on the bar. He just goes over and slams his head down on the bar.
I like when he slammed the eclair on the ground. He was so mad.
Yeah. But he just had to keep going back for more. Like for some reason, he was just completely enamored with her. Bella Baxter.
Bella, oh, yes.
Man. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Dan, what do you got on this one?
I really like this movie. It was very audacious, and the set design ought to win an awards. It was insane to look at. You had great performances. I think of this movie as Bizarro World Barbie. I think it's concerned with the same ideas that Barbie is, but it does it in a super crazy, weird ass child brain in an adult, you know, body way. But right. It was really interesting to see the world through her eyes. And she's like sort of free of preconception or shame or all the learning about how she was supposed to feel or what she was supposed to do. She just went and did what she wanted to do. And then eventually over time matured to some extent and learned, but like had all the agency, you know. And I thought it was, I liked Barbie quite a bit, but I think this is a better feminist story or better feminist movie this year, even though I wouldn't have guessed that one could top Barbie. I think this one was even better.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it was real good. So Zone of Interest is about a nice German family who lives next to a very loud facility that has a lot of smoke coming out of it. The poor husband gets relocated, but his wife won't go with him. But but the wife is allowed to keep the house. And then the Germans show off a really big collection of shoes and crutches. And then the movie ends.
You've managed to describe the movie without saying what the movie was about at all.
Oh, no, that's exactly what it's about. So why don't you say what the movie's about? Oh, by the way, these Germans are Nazis and in charge of Auschwitz, too.
Yes.
Maybe that's an important part.
Yes, that is okay. Relevant.
Okay. No, this movie, it had some really interesting visual things, and I'm sure it could be shown in theater classes on how to make an artsy movie, but I didn't give a shit about any of it. It was outside of the external knowledge of the Holocaust that I bring to the movie on my own. Without any information from the movie, you don't know what's going on. And that's my biggest problem with the movie is the viewer has to bring all of the conflict with them to the movie. The only conflict at all is when the husband is standing out by the river and he has to tell the wife.
And you almost feel sorry for him. And then you remember who he is and what he does. And you're like, oh, wait, these people are all garbage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're just doing their job.
Yeah.
Well, he's just doing his job.
I mean, this is a famous war criminal that it's about.
I know.
I think the point of the movie is the banality of everyday life and look at this happy family. It shows another side of World War II. And I've seen a lot of Holocaust movies at this point in my life, and I'm not very excited to see more of them. But this covered a different angle, and the sort of creeping dread of every time, like, you saw the flames or they had a discussion about more efficient, you know, ovens and everything else was where it was really effective. Is this a fun movie to watch? Will I ever watch it again? No and no. But I did appreciate it, and I was weirdly spellbound by it. It was almost like a documentary style. Like, they set up a bunch of cameras in this crazy, big, fancy house, and then they just followed their daily lives while they did horrible things and yet still went home to their families and had their little squabbles. And yeah, I thought it was really effective and interesting. I admire it greatly. I do not love this movie. And it's, you know, obviously how you feel about this kind of movie, it's subjective. So if you didn't like that it made you carry a lot of the water for it, then I can totally understand that. That didn't bother me because I already know all that stuff. So I didn't need them to spell it out. It was just interesting to watch all the random people's reactions to the horror happening next door and how it sort of, they just sort of got along with their lives. But it was, you know, like the mother who visits would happily talk about how disappointed she was that she didn't get the curtains she wanted from a Jewish family she used to work for when they were taken away. And then later on, it becomes real for her when she sees, you know, the big smokestacks pouring mm-hmm. out flame and smoke in the middle of the night. And she just takes off. She's like, I can't be here anymore. But then it's totally normalized, you know, and it makes certain things, like near the end of the movie, the older brother locks the younger brother in the greenhouse. And I just remember thinking, this is a thing that brothers do to each other, just like fuck with each other. But like, there's an additional sort of, or is he a monster, you know, based on who his parents are and
what he's grown up being aware of.
Yeah.
You know, right. it was really interesting, not fun exactly, but I do really admire the movie. So I did not have a super negative reaction, but this is not your kind of movie, Dave. I was not surprised that you didn't enjoy it.
I would argue it was neither interesting nor fun to watch.
Yeah,
I put this one in the category of Killers of the Flower Moon and the one last year, All Quiet on the Western Front. Mm-hmm. That it's a well-made film, but it's very, very depressing. And the whole time I was watching it, I was trying to figure out exactly what I was supposed to be taking away from it. And I think it has to do with, like you said, the banality of the day-to-day and stuff, which is not something you normally get from any of these World War II films or even from World War II history. So in that respect, like you said, Dan, it is something new to watch, something different. But I think ultimately what it's trying to say, and I could be wrong about this, we need to be ever vigilant about things that are going on around us and not just be the, you know, the cog in the gear, just allowing bad things to happen. And that's not always super easy because we don't always know what's going on. But in this case, these people knew. There's no question. You can't just be that close to something going on, hearing the screams, hearing the gunshots and things. They absolutely knew what was going on, but so they tolerated it and they accepted it.
If that was the point to don't do that, then they needed to show consequences for these people. And there were no consequences for these people.
Well, we know there are consequences for those
people.
We know.
We bring that knowledge to the movie, but the movie doesn't portray that.
Yeah.
I guess that's a stylistic choice.
That's why I hated it so much.
That doesn't bother me one bit.
Every single thing about this movie I had that was interesting about the movie, I had to bring to it.
So I'm gonna push back just a tad on that because the scenes where they had the shoes, where the janitors were, that was present day cleaning Auschwitz, the actual place now. Mm-hmm. That was the intention, was to flash forward to the future and show what the actual consequences were of this. So it wasn't exactly slamming you over the head with this is what these particular characters' consequences were, but they weren't just sugarcoating it and saying, oh yeah, all this crap happened and whatever, you know, you saw it, you're done. There was I think supposed to be an emphasis on a lot of people lost their lives and all those people that were just going through the motions, doing their regular day-to-day stuff, were complicit in that. We as normal people, as whatever that means, what is normal? We as the hopefully not genocidal people should be more vigilant about our governments or our situations that are happening around us so that that same type of thing doesn't happen again.
Yeah, see, what they could have done is shown the trial when, I can't remember the guy's name, but when he was found guilty and then he was executed, or they could have put like words at the end of the movie saying, this is what happened to these people. I don't find that necessary personally.
They could have had the director do a radio show about how the movie ended in the end.
But, you know, it would have been less interesting, I think, in a way, because what was cool about The Killers of the Flower Moon is it was a commentary on the way we tell these stories and the fact that a white guy was telling a Native American story.
No, I know.
There's more going on. But the zone of it, I just personally don't have a problem with him with having to bring knowledge or not having the actual consequences. But that's a personal preference. Like, if you don't like that, then obviously it wasn't the movie for you. If it's going to win an award, it should be for sound design, because I think they did a great job of having the horror in the background the whole time. I thought they did that quite well.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was reading on Wikipedia that the score is done by Micah Levi, which is she's done some pretty decent scores of other movies. They ended up scrapping most of it and only used just a couple cues here and there for emphasis on certain things because they felt like they didn't want to make it more of a sort of fun story with, you know, music going all the time. So they kind of scaled that back quite a bit.
I don't know if I've ever hated anyone on a movie as much as Sandra Hüller's character when they're in bed talking about like pigs or something. And like she wants to be taken back to like a spa. And then they're like talking about pigs and she's just laughing. I was like, these are the worst people in the world. I know that they're bad. And then they're acting like these assholes. And I don't know. Yeah. And it was more concerned with the subtle evil, the banality of evil day to day. And I thought that's what made it worth its existence and worth seeing. But yes, it certainly was. It let you do most of the work. it was like you're going to have to help carry the movie. And that was not a problem for me. That said, I'll never watch it again. I think I got the point, and it's 106 minutes. That is not exciting. And it's pretty dark.
So let's do three things. Which one do you think is going to win the best picture? Which one is your favorite that you most would want? And which one would you most want to watch again? Because those don't necessarily correspond.
Right.
So I think Oppenheimer is going to win.
Yep.
And my favorite is Poor Things. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to mention before, the music, the score on that was incredible. Really, really odd, dissonant stuff going on. Really sparse. I loved the Poor Things score. And that's also the one that I would want to watch again multiple times, actually.
How about you, Dan?
Will win is Oppenheimer. That movie has been pushed down to like one of my least favorites of the 10.
Yeah.
After watching all these. My favorite, boy, that's tough. I really like Past Lives. I wish I'd seen American Fiction because I feel like that would be a strong contender as well. But
you will really like American Fiction.
Poor Things is the other one. I'll say to be different, I'll say Past Lives was my favorite. It's certainly one of the top two or three with those other two that I mentioned. And which do I want to see again? I'd like to see American Fiction again for the first time. I really enjoyed Holdovers. It's more of like a fuzzy sweater of a movie. But Poor Things would be the most fun rewatch. There's just so much visual stuff and interesting acting and performances that I would say that I agree with you, Zach. That's probably the one I'd like to see next again, if I had to choose. Dave, how about you?
So I think Oppenheimer's going to win. It's going to kind of make me sad because there are so many better movies on this list. Like you, Dan, it's way down on the list. Like Zone of Interest is by far the worst. then I would put Oppenheimer and Flower Moon a tier up from them. And then Anatomy of a Fall, maybe just above that. But then, and Maestro, just probably. I really liked Barbie. I really liked Holdovers. Poor Things. I think Poor Things is the one I most want to see again. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's the one that I can get the most out of from a second viewing.
Yeah, there's so much going on.
It has so much that I miss. I know I miss things.
We didn't even mention Willem Dafoe. Insane burp bubbles.
Yep.
we could spend an hour talking about that movie alone. I think
it was a fascinating movie.
So much going on, and maybe we'll want to go in and go back and talk about that one again. But so yeah, that's definitely the one I would want to watch the most, and I'm pretty sure I purchased it, so that's good.
So what's your favorite?
What's my favorite though?
It's tough, isn't it? It was a pretty good year for movies. I think
it was a really good year. It's between Barbie, Holdovers, Past Lives, and Poor Things. How about that?
That really narrows it down.
Yeah. I narrowed it down to three. I did choose one, but yeah, it's tough. It's a tough one.
I'll say my favorite is Holdovers because Giamatti was so good. So good. I laughed the most in that one, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that one brought me the most joy, if you will.
I agree. That's the one you maybe want to watch every Christmas, you know, or something.
Yeah. Fortunately, I did not buy that one. It was a good batch of movies. I only hated one. Two left me like they were Oscar bait. They didn't have to be over 3 hours. Honestly, let's be honest. Neither of those movies needed to be over 3 hours.
Well, that's a personal preference thing, too. I was not bothered by the lengths of either of those movies. Personally, I understand that, you know, that so not everyone would agree with me.
You're unwilling to be honest is what you're saying. I'll say, let's be honest, Dan.
Let's be honest means you must agree with me.
Yes. Code word. Agree with me.
I will say this is a stronger batch than last year, I would say. Yeah. I'm just looking at them right now, and there's some quite good ones on there. But I think there were more movies that I'll want to go back to this year than there were last year. I think they did an excellent job of getting a wide variety of movies and a high quality of movies.
How would you whittle this down to just five if it was only five nominated?
Okay. Well, Zone of Interest would go. Either Killers of the Flower Moon or Oppenheimer would go.
Maestro can go.
Maestro would probably go.
That's what feels like an Oscar bait movie from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But not anymore. I mean, realistically, you'd probably drop Anatomy of the Fall because it's a foreign film, so it probably wouldn't have made it. And honestly, I'm glad Barbie's in here because I don't think it was one of the worst of these 10. It's a little bit of a surprise that it's here. It's the closest thing to a popcorn movie.
Yeah, it would probably go too. So you'd be left with American Fiction, Holdovers, say Oppenheimer.
Probably Oppenheimer, yeah.
Past Lives and Poor Things.
That's a really stacked lineup too.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Yep.
I would choose Killers over Oppenheimer personally for my own taste. But I also liked Barbie quite a bit. So
I would think that Past Lives would get booted before Killers would, though.
Oh, it probably would. It probably would. Yeah. No, it's a small movie without any over the top acting or cinematic tricks. So that would definitely go. Yeah, you're probably right. It would probably be Killers, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, American Fiction, and Barbie, maybe, or Holdovers. I don't know. People seem to like Holdovers quite a bit. It's a really stacked lineup. I hope next year is as good.
Yeah, no, it was a good run this year. I liked it a lot. I am angry that Zone of Interest got 20 of my dollars, though.
It only got 10 of my dollars. That said, I did have to drive to Portage to watch it. I don't know if I won that one or not. It's probably 6 of 1, 6 the other, but I enjoyed the drive more than I would have paying $20 to watch it once. Oh, I guess you probably own it, right, Dave?
I own a digital copy of it, yeah. So I can't even set it on fire.
That's why physical media is better. No, I'm curious. Curious to see what happens at the Oscars.
I am too. Are you going to watch?
I'm not going to watch the whole thing, I don't think.
Zach, are you going to watch the Oscars? You'll be the only one who can stay up that late.
Yeah, no.
I'll watch some YouTube of it, but
yeah, I'll watch a recap. I'll check the list.
Yeah, without the threat of Will Smith slapping anybody, I'm just not gonna do it.
All right, tell us what you think in the comments. Did we pick the right winner for the best picture of this year's Oscars? Like and subscribe if you do that kind of thing. If you want more content like this, you can find everything we've done at 64tacos.com. If you really liked it, go to buymeacoffee.com/64tacos where you can buy us a taco. Thanks for listening.
I caught it on audio.
All right. You guys ready for the last one?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, bring it.
why don't you get your anger out first, Dave? All right.
So the last movie of our five is
Sober Tone.
Oh my goodness.
It's Zone of Interest.
It's appropriate.